the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the enlightenment of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Since we are assembled here to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer, and to receive the body and blood of Christ, let us think of our unworthiness, confess before God that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and realize also that by our own strength, we cannot free ourselves from our sinful nature. Therefore, we take refuge in his infinite mercy, seeking and imploring his grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you, and justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the sufferings and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful me. Forgive me all my sins, and grant me the power of the Holy Spirit, that I may amend my sinful life.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Gospel is in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. This is the gospel.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Word of God for our meditation, taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the opening verses. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, let us faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and yourselves and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. This is our text. In Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, dearly beloved, jubilarians and families and friends, this is a great year of anniversaries, yours and mine. And then we think of the Augsburg Confession 450 years ago. We think of the Book of Concord 400 years ago. And in it all, it is good that standing in such a time, we should review with one another what God has made known to us all through these gifts that we call the confessions. For we are a confessional church, and we have always claimed the confessions of the Lutheran Church to be a correct exposition of the Word of God. And you and I, pastors in the church, have proclaimed this message throughout our ministry, whatever length that may be, 5 or 15 or 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45 years ago and longer. And we certainly want to attest this day that we are still standing where we were back there when we were graduated from this seminary and when we became members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, except that we have grown in knowledge and conviction and in experience in the ministry. And so we have this ministry, the ministry as servants of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. For we don't preach human wisdom. We preach only Christ and Him crucified. And this has got to be the theme of our discourses everywhere, in the classroom and in the pulpit, at the sickbed or wherever else we might have opportunity to speak to someone concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle warns here against that business of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. It seems that everything in our world today is mixed up to a degree. We have learned to pronounce unpronounceable names through the news media in recent years. We went from Sadat to Begin, the Shah of Iran and an Ayatollah Khomeini. We talked about Bani Sadr. We talked about hostages, not only in Iran, but also in Colombia, in Bogota. It seems even nature gets into the act because there has been unseasonable weather this spring, eruption of a volcano, and floods in many parts of our country. And the church did not escape it either, for it had to go through its period of disloyal sons who thought they had discovered new truths and new ways of bringing the church up to date in our modern age. We have so-called great theologians who don't know anymore what is Word of God and what isn't, who think that the gospel is good news for any bad situation. We are in a bad situation, all right, and the gospel does become good news for that bad situation. For we too are included among those of whom God says, the soul that sinneth it shall die. They are all gone aside. They have altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we then must appeal to the mercy and grace of our God in order to redeem us from our fallen state, and this holds true also of us who occupy the blessed ministry. For we too have come short of the glory of God, as we well know, when we hold the law up and we look into the mirror of it, and then we must admit that we too have not always obeyed God's thou shalt and thou shalt not. And therefore we too are sinners and need the forgiveness which we are privileged to preach to others. And we ourselves must claim it for ourselves, lest after having preached to others, we might ourselves become castaways. So we have this truth now in earthen vessels. You and I are earthen vessels. And we are of flesh and blood, and therefore short of God's expectations. Yet God has given us that word to proclaim, so that the greater glory should belong to him and not to us. For left to our own devices, we certainly could never have devised the plan of salvation as God has revealed it in his holy word to all of us. And even though we are distressed by many things and concerned about the situations that surround us in the world, particularly also the godliness which is evident on every hand, and it which is highlighted so glowingly by the news media, it seems that to become a hero and to be talked about, you must commit a crime. And the more heinous the crime, the more glory comes to that part of the news. You and I now have the glorious news of salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have gone through the church year any number of times, talking about the advent of Jesus Christ, our Savior, at Christmas time and his birth, and then his revelation to the heathen, the Gentiles in particular. And then we have gone through the Holy Lenten season, accompanied our Savior on his way of sorrows to the cross. We have stood at the empty tomb and sung our hallelujahs because Jesus rose from the dead. We have seen him ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of God according to his promise. He said that he would be with us always, even unto the end of the world. And though he ascended on high, yet he is with us day by day and has given himself unto us in the blessed sacrament through his true body and blood in with and under the bread and wine. So you and I have proclaimed this truth to people everywhere all our lives. And in the process, we have done away with all dishonesty and deceit, hopefully. We don't use the word of God to elevate ourselves and enhance our own position, but we use the word of God for the benefit of the souls to whom we are speaking, whom God has given into our care. And as their spiritual leaders, then, we proclaim the wisdom of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we confess freely before all the world that we ourselves don't amount to that much, but it is the message which we proclaim that brings salvation to people. And we proclaim then that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. As we then go on through the church year, proclaiming these mighty truths over and over again, we then bring, under the power of the Holy Spirit, souls in contact with their God, and they then will proclaim the truth after us. When we are no longer able to proclaim, there will come others behind us whom we instruct, so that the word of God will always have free course in the world and be preached to the edifying of souls everywhere. As we then celebrate some years of ministering to God's people, we confess our shortcomings and we ask the Lord to forgive where we have not represented Him as well as we might. You and I, of course, have a great honor. It is an honor to be the ambassador for the United States in other lands. What a greater honor is it that we represent Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, in the world and especially in the area where we work. We represent not some king, some another earthly human being, but we represent Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Savior and Lord of us all. And as we proclaim this gospel, which is the good news that Jesus, our Savior, has come to fulfill the law for us, to suffer and die as our substitute on a shameful cross, as we proclaim this truth in all honesty and sincerity, people are going to be moved to come to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so the word has its effect. And what we do on earth will have its results in heaven. Of what other profession could that possibly be said? So we know that as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we hold the highest position with which any human being may be honored and charged. And so we take seriously, even though we are flesh and blood, yet God works His miracles through what we say and do, and our walk of life, our proclamation of the gospel has its effect because God wants it to have that effect, and the Holy Spirit works His mysterious ways in the hearts of men. So you have been instructing and preaching and teaching over a period of years, and you look ahead to many more years of work in God's kingdom. And although you may not always understand why this one or that one does not obey the word, and although it seems useless sometimes to be talking to the same person over and over again, let us not be discouraged, but go on, because God has promised, and our Savior has said, "He that hears you hears me." And as long as we say the words which Jesus would speak were He in our place, that long the words are going to have their effect, and that far the Lord will bless our message. May we then in all we do and say, and you wives who have been faithful in upholding the arms of your husbands, the pastors, may the Lord grant you His blessing also, so that in everything you do, you may lead the Christian life and so give an example for others to follow, that they too may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. May the Lord grant you much joy and happiness as you meet with old classmates and colleagues, and may He then strengthen you for the tasks which confront you after you return home again to your field of endeavor. Many blessings to all of you, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
upon you now in trust and love and in filial devotion to your will, by all your works, by the remembrance of all your mercies, by the revelation of yourself to the prophets of old.
Teach us to draw us to remember you.
By the memory of Jesus Christ our Lord, by his life and teaching, by his life laid down for our salvation, and by the work of his Spirit in the world,
teach us to draw us ever nearer to you.
By the noble example of the saints and martyrs of the church, by all that we owe to Christian faith and devotion down the years,
teach us to draw us ever nearer to you.
By the remembrance of our dear friends and brethren who have served faithfully in your church militant, whose faces we see no more, but who are forever present with you in the church triumphant,
teach us and draw us ever nearer to you.
By the joys of life, by human love, by the affection and fidelity of friends, by the capacity for pleasure and the sense of humor, by the persistency in our hearts of optimism and hope,
teach us and draw us ever nearer to you.
By the sorrows of life, by our fails and failures, by our disappointments and disasters, by the stern discipline of loneliness, of realized dreams, and the heartaches of unsatisfied desires,
teach us and draw us ever nearer to you.
By our want of you, by the hunger within us for the eternal life, by our search for truth, and by our hands outstretched in prayer,
teach us and draw us ever nearer to you.
Thank you. are you, O God, almighty and most merciful Lord. Holy are you, and great is the majesty of your glory. You did so love the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And you did send him into the world to fulfill for us your holy will and to accomplish our salvation. Remembering, therefore, his salutary precept, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, and we beseech you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and to bless us, your children, so that all we who partake of Christ's holy body and of his precious blood may be filled with your heavenly peace and joy. And also that we, in receiving the forgiveness of sins, together with the gifts of life and salvation, may be sanctified in body and soul and spirit, and have our portion with all your saints in light. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his steadfast love endures forever.
Grant, O Lord, that the lips which have sung your praise in the sanctuary may glorify you in the world, that the ears which have heard the voice of your songs may be closed to the voice of clamor and dispute, that the eyes which have seen your great love may also behold your blessed hope, that the tongues which have confessed your name may ever speak the truth, and that the bodies of all who have tasted of your Son's living body and blood may be restored to newness of life through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.